sooner or later, everybody prays. Someone has put it, there are no atheists in foxholes. And you may think that you can get through your life without God, but sooner or later, you will come to a situation in which you will want to say, oh God, help me. The first question then, of course, is going to be, which God?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, as we just picked up on, we're going to be talking about prayer today. And you bring up that important point. We need to know which God we're praying to.
And that's especially important in a time where people have often moved away from understanding who God is from the Bible to sort of intuitively developing my own idea of God as I like to think of him.
Right.
And so God increasingly becomes defined by the individual, which means that ideas of God are basically ideas that exist in our own head. If I've dreamt up my own idea of God and then try to pray, I'm praying to my own head. I'm praying to my own ideas. And there's no power in my own ideas to be able to respond to the need that I bring. So thank God for the reality that there is one God in heaven. And he says, I am who I am. I'm not whoever you want me to be. I'm not whoever you think about. I am who I am. And the I am exists. The I am is in heaven. And the I am extends himself towards us. And we can come to him through Jesus Christ. That's what gives hope for prayer. I can speak to the living God, the creator and the father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And in the book of Jude, we explore that a little further. So if you can, I hope you'll open your Bible and join us there as we begin a message entitled, Pray in the Holy Spirit. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, Jude, the writer just before the book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament, gives us seven workouts for a healthy Christian life. And we're following them together. Last time we saw the first, that we're to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. You do that by giving thanks for the faith that you have, affirming your faith, exercising your faith, and feeding your faith on Jesus Christ. Now today we're going to come to the second workout, and you find it in the letter of Jude, just before the book of Revelation, just one very short letter, and there in verse 20. Jude verse 20, pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, I think that there are many of us this morning who would say, you know, I'm doing okay in some areas of my Christian life. But when it comes to this whole business of prayer, I really feel that I'm terribly out of shape. I spoke last week about the value of an occasional conversation with a pastor about where your spiritual life is. And on the many occasions when I've had the opportunity just to have a no-agenda kind of discussion like that, I have used a little discussion starter tool that we've developed. There's half a dozen envelopes, and when someone comes in and sits down for a discussion like this, I say to them, well, now, we've got an hour to talk. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. But if there's nothing particularly in your mind, maybe you'd like to choose one of these questions. And there's a question on the front of each of these six envelopes. And there are questions about faith and about spiritual growth and about prayer and about worship and service and so forth and so on. Now, I would say that fully half of all the people that I've sat down and spoken with one-on-one picks one envelope. And it has a question on the front that simply says this: how would you describe your prayer life? And about half of all the folks who've sat down with me, I've had the privilege of speaking with them over past months, have chosen that question and said, Pastor, if I got an hour to talk with you, I'd like to talk about this. I would like to talk about where my prayer life is. Now, inside the envelope, when we open it up, having decided that that's what we're going to spend the time talking about, there are a number of different cards. Each card has one word on it. The question is, how would you describe your prayer life? And inside are various words. Some of them are positive, some of them are negative, some a little bit in between. And folks are invited just to sort out which word would best describe your prayer life as it is right now. I'll tell you the two words that by far and away are most often picked up, and folks will say, I think this is where I'm at. The first word is irregular. And the second word is aimless. And it's been my great privilege to be able to sit and to talk about where you go from there if you feel that that's the reality of your prayer life. So I think, therefore, that there is a great hunger among us in this congregation to know more of what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit. See, sooner or later, everybody prays. Someone has put it, there are no atheists in foxholes. And you may think that you can get through your life without God, but sooner or later you will come to a situation in which you will want to say, oh God, help me. The first question then, of course, is going to be, which God? Well, you say, well, there's surely only one God. Yes, but who is he? How can we know him? Now, some people say in answer to that question, well, you know, God is whoever you think him to be. The trouble with that is that if God is whoever you think him to be, then when in your foxhole you pray, you're actually praying only to whoever you think about in your own mind. In other words, who you have made up, a figment of your imagination. And there is therefore no objective reality to correspond to the one to whom you call. What we are saying, what the Bible is saying, is that there is indeed one God and you can know him because he has made himself known to Abraham and to Moses and to the prophets and supremely in Jesus Christ. You can come to know him and you can speak not to some figment of your imagination, but God as he is. And there is no greater privilege that a man or woman can know in this life. Let me make three foundational statements about Christian prayer, and then we're going to get into the second workout with some practical steps as to how you can grow in what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit. First, true prayer, if we're to understand it aright from the Bible, is prayer directed to God the Father. Now, someone sent me, quite unsolicited just this week, I don't know who it was, but I was grateful for it. Someone sent me a magazine from a famous and wonderful hospital. It had an article on the front page about spirituality and healing. And the hospital chaplain wrote about the value of, quote, prayer to God or to a higher power. Now, we hear that kind of language. You must have heard that phrase many times. Prayer to God or to a higher power. I heard it at Larry King several times in the last month. It's almost universal language in our culture. To God or to a higher power. What I want you to understand from the Bible today is that there is all the difference in the world between these two things. You see, there are many higher powers in the spirit world. The Bible makes that very clear. Jesus Christ, we're told, is seated above angels, authorities, with powers in submission to him. In fact, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament tells us about a day when God will deal with the higher powers. Look at this verse from Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 21. In that day, the Lord, four capital letters, because this is the name of the God who reveals himself in the Bible, the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens. He'll punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings on the earth below. Now, that's a very clear statement, isn't it? There are other higher powers, and one day God will punish them. And to read on Isaiah's words, he says, they, the powers, will be herded like prisoners bound in a dungeon. They'll be shut up in a prison and punished after many days, for the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before its elders gloriously. Now, if that is the ultimate destiny of the higher powers, we have no business praying to them or associating with them. Why would you want to pray to a power that God will one day judge? Whatever temporary help the higher powers may be able to give to you now, they are under the condemnation of God, the Bible says, and you do not want to be identified with them in any way. Now, that will be something worth your while remembering next time someone talks to you about praying to God or a higher power. True prayer is directed to God the Father.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Pray in the Spirit. And we've seen how true prayer is directed to God the Father. And when we come back in just a few moments, we're going to see how it's also offered through the Son and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So I hope you'll stay with us. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. It really is your giving that allows us to not only make this radio program available, but the podcast, the app, the Bible study tools, and other resources to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. If you're a regular listener to Open the Bible, I want to ask you, would you consider a gift of support? You can give online at openthebible.org or call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
True prayer is directed to God the Father. Secondly, true prayer is offered through God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once we've grasped that there is one God, that he's not whoever we want him to be or imagine him to be, but he is who he is as he's revealed himself to us, the next question is, how do we come then to him? Now, when you ask the question, how do I come to God? The answer is, it all depends on what you want to receive from him. You see, the Bible uses a very powerful picture to make this clear to us. There is one God, but he has more than one throne. Now, that is something that is very easy for a person from Britain to understand. There is one queen in Britain, but she has more than one throne. There's a throne in the palace, actually there's probably several. There is a throne in the House of Lords. The different thrones that the Queen has in Great Britain relate to different functions that she performs. She uses the throne in the House of Lords, for example, when she reads the government program for the state opening of Parliament that you may have seen on television. It's a marvelous, marvelous occasion of pageantry. Now, using that picture, the Bible also makes it clear that there is one God, but he has more than one throne. The Bible speaks, for example, of a great white throne from which God on the last day will dispense justice and judgment to every person who has ever lived. But the Bible also speaks about a throne of grace, a throne of grace, where God gives mercy to sinners, where God gives strength to weak people, where God reaches out and embraces us in his covenant love. Now, very simply, if you want to come to the great white throne, you can come any way you want and you will get the justice of God. But if you want to come to the throne of grace, you have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is made very clear right throughout the Bible, not only in the New Testament, but even in the Old, where those who sought the grace of God had to come with a sacrifice. So, for example, we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, since we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who's gone through the heavens, we should do two things. Hebrews 4 and verse 14, hold firmly to the faith we profess. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, come boldly, come with confidence to the throne of grace. Because of Jesus, we should come to this throne of grace, that we may receive grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. So there is one God, but there is more than one throne. And if you want access to grace, access into that room, access to that throne is opened by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth have come in Jesus Christ. So if we're to understand true prayer, here are the first things that we need to understand, that it's directed to God the Father, and that it is offered through God the Son. You will remember that there was a great storm of controversy after Franklin Graham, at the presidential inauguration, ended his prayer by saying the words, "In the name of Jesus Christ." Now, that is not just a tagline that Christians like to use as a convention. It is a statement of our fundamental conviction that grace is released through Jesus Christ. This is why he came into the world. It is fundamental to our whole position. For if that were not true, he need not have come. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. So true prayer is then directed to the Father. It is offered through the Son. And then thirdly, it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is one of the most marvelous and least understood teachings of the whole of the Bible. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live with you and in you. And one of the many things that he will help you to do is to pray. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, as we read, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. See, we do not know what to pray for, Paul says, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Now, to try and make this a little clearer, I want you to imagine with me for a moment a computer geek at high school. And he works away every evening in his basement, and he's writing software. And he thinks to himself, if only I could get this into the hands of those good folks at Microsoft. So he writes to Microsoft. He's full of ideas, and he never hears a solitary thing. He's disappointed, but he's not surprised. After all, he knows nobody at Microsoft. He has no idea how to introduce a new idea to Microsoft, and who knows how many suggestions these folks at Microsoft receive in a single day. Then one day, while the kid is working away on his computer writing software in the basement, there is a knock at the door. And there stands, to his absolute astonishment, a rather short, middle-aged guy with reddish hair and glasses. "Hi," he says, "I'm Bill Gates." The kid nearly falls over. But the next thing, he's sitting in his basement, working away on his computer, with Bill Gates sitting right there at his elbow. "Listen," says Bill, "let me tell you where Microsoft is heading right now. You see, if you can move your work in the direction that we're going, maybe we can become partners together." The kid's eyes are boggling wide open. The kid begins to work on what Bill has told him. Then he sends a new proposal to Microsoft, just as Bill had described. And now the kid sends it, not with a kind of hopeless shot-in-the-dark attitude, but with great confidence. Why? Because he knows that what Bill Gates has prompted, Bill Gates will receive. Now, if that illustration is stretching the boundaries of your imagination, as it does mine, here is something far greater to completely blow your mind. You see, Almighty God comes to every believer by his Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray, to prompt us of the direction in which God himself is moving, so that we may come into alignment with that and enter into his purpose, so that my prayer is not some kind of vague shot in the dark, but is a reflection of what God himself is doing. It is an entering into partnership with the living God. That's why John says in his letter, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. If we ask for anything in his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we have what we have asked of him. We read a verse like that and say, "I'm not sure I really understand that." And the reason we find it hard to understand is that we sometimes do not know much about praying in the Spirit. We're like the geek alone in the basement. No, true prayer is a partnership. There is a sense in which you never truly pray alone. It is a partnership involving Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Now, this sounds marvelous, but the obvious question is, okay, but where do I begin in practice? I feel right now that my prayer life is just irregular and aimless, and you're talking about something from the Bible that sounds very wonderful. How do I begin to move in that direction? Number one, if you want to learn what it is to pray in the Spirit, then soak yourself in the Spirit's prayers. The Spirit's prayers. You see, the Bible contains some marvelous prayers which, if you think about it, were actually breathed out by the Spirit of God himself. You'll find them in the book of Psalms. The whole Bible was written as men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And as you fill your mind with the Word of God, as you fill your soul with the prayers of the Spirit, you will find that you begin to think God's thoughts after him. And if you can learn to form your prayers in a way that reflects the Bible, you will be praying in the Spirit because you are praying in a way that reflects the mind and the heart of God. One of the greatest pieces of spiritual counsel I ever received was keep the tight connection, Colin, between your reading of the Bible and your praying. Relate the two together. Martin Luther, for example, structured his entire prayer life around the Lord's Prayer every day throughout his lifetime. What he did was simply this. He saw that the Lord's Prayer essentially contained five headings that were basically the categories for his daily prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he began to pray about all that it means for God to be honored in his life, the church, and the nation. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He prayed for God's kingdom, for what is just, for what is true, and for what is right. Give us this day our daily bread. He brought before God all of his daily needs. Money, energy, peace, direction, patience, guidance, all that I need to live today, God. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. He prayed about his own sins, tried to identify them, and asked for God's help in forgiving the wounds that others had inflicted on him. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. He identified and called on God for areas in which he saw temptation and asked for eyes that would be open to see temptation and to be given triumph over it. Now that covers the whole of life, these five things. And you could pray into these five headings every day for the next month, and you would find something fresh to say as life moves on every day. You would be praying in the Spirit because you are praying in line with the very purpose of Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Pray in the Spirit. It's part of a larger series called Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, taking a look at seven workouts from the book of Jude. And if you ever miss a broadcast in our series, come and listen online. The website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, I know we've got a lot of podcast listeners out there, and so we're excited to let you know about a new podcast. It is a companion to Pastor Colin's book called Hike Through the Bible.
Yeah, and each week I'll read a chapter from the book, and then I get to discuss it with some friends. So if you join us on the podcast in 50 weeks, we'll cover 50 chapters of the Bible together, and in a year, you'll have hiked through the entire Bible story. Now, if you think hiking sounds like hard work, don't worry. I promise you, this hike will be an easy, gentle pace, and it's not too late for you to get started. So join me. You can subscribe to the Hike Through the Bible podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find more information at openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike.
We do hope that you will check out that podcast and that you'll subscribe, not just on the audio podcast, but also the YouTube channel as well. Well, thanks for listening today. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." God's word is the food that will nourish your soul. You need it every day. And Open the Bible Daily is a daily devotional that will open the Word of God and lead you to Jesus. It's available for free on our website, openthebible.org. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.